Well, we're back for another edition of the Word for Life broadcast. I'm thankful to be here with you this morning. With me in the studio is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala. We have been, as you know, those of you who are regular listeners to the show, studying the question that James asked in the New Testament, what is your life? And we are right in the middle of some exciting discussions related to an individual in the Old Testament that did a tremendous ministry for the Lord. And we're talking certainly about David, a man very much like us. And the scriptures describe him as a man after God's own heart. And Doc, you've been talking to us about the covenants that David made as he assumed the role of king, and certainly part of how he made his life count for the Lord. And we've been learning how we can make our own life count. We've talked a little bit about David's worship. And then we spent our last broadcast together talking about his walk, some very powerful, penetrating truths. And so what do you have for us this morning?
Verse 3, the next I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. So I put this under the category of my watch. What will I watch?
His worship, and then his personal walk, and now his watch.
Yeah, now we start get to the external function of life. How am I going to live? And he has to make a covenant like Job did. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? It behooves us to look at what we face in today's society. What David was facing here and what Job faced was nothing like the bombardment that we have on our senses today.
They didn't have malls. They didn't have interstate highways. They didn't have billboards. They didn't have internet. They didn't have television, much less cable television.
Right. I mean, I look back even my, I was, a young teenager when I saw my first television. And you look today at what is available in the privacy of our own homes, and it can be very devastating. So when David made that covenant and Job made that covenant, they were facing things that were very minor. Of course, maybe there's something I don't know. Obviously, David as a king had more opportunities perhaps to see things because of his power. As we see finally, when he broke this particular covenant, the tragedy that came as a result of that. But it is something that has to be put as a guard, and men need accountability. Men who fall almost to the man lack accountability for their life and why they did the things they did. So while we will not park on this particular thing, I believe you need to let the Holy Spirit of God point out in your life, what is it that is hitting my senses? There are five access gates to my inner man. Two of the biggest ones, the eye gate and the ear gate. And I have to determine what is going to get into my inner man. And David is making a decision here regarding this major gate called the eye gate. Because that eye gate will then access the inner man. And that which I let in, then it becomes a battle within my own soul.
Right.
He will set no wicked thing before his eyes. And with the, as you mentioned, television, billboards, etc., it's difficult even to watch sports programs anymore because of the advertisements. I just cannot believe when you're just trying to sit down with your family and watch a game of the most ridiculous things that are pushed into your face as a viewer.
Yeah. You know what's shocking to me is how desensitized I am to that. You know, I can sit there and, you know, that clicker, you know, when my wife is sitting next to me, that channel gets changed pretty quickly. But when she's not there, sometimes it doesn't get changed as quickly as it should. And I think that's really what we're talking about here, that covenant that has to be made internally.
Yeah, so that the thought process does not get turned aside, because then we, again, we're thinking internally. Thank God for the Word of God that is the cleansing agent, but we have to allow that Word to work. One of the things that we need to look at sometime is the 2 Peter chapter 1, that whole segment in there of how important virtue is in that element of chorusing together after our saving faith. If I am going to end up as a person with genuine love to reach this society without becoming a self-centered person.
I think it's so crucial because as men, as dads, as husbands, we walk around with a big target on us.
Right. Well, I think that's clearly pointed out in the Gospels, where it said if you bind the strong man of the house, then he is able to access that whole house, and where the strong man is bound. And we could go through many things that would bind that strong man. And then not only watch regarding wicked things, I think he mentions wicked people in a couple different points in this. And it doesn't mean we are to be not touching people in the world. It's not saying don't have any friends who are wicked. They cannot be our close associates. I tell teens, you cannot run with a skunk and smell like a rose. And you have to come to a point of understanding that your peer does influence you.
And right.
You make a covenant regarding wicked people. Then that mother load of all sin regarding wicked pride. You hit the mother load when you hit the pride, mm-hmm. because that gives me, in my mind, the right to run my own life. And David cried in Psalm 131, my heart is not haughty. Well, that's quite a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And how easy it is to become very haughty without us even realizing what that is. And then another segment in this is, I will watch regarding my words in verse 5, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. And we see the guard on wicked pride. Then that very, very untamable animal called the tongue. This is addressed, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. In Shakespeare's play Othello, when I went to college, I came from the UP of Michigan, from the logging industry, and when I was watching,
I know what's coming.
When I was watching Shakespearean plays, I did learn some character things. And in Othello, an interesting thing is made where Othello says, he who steals my purse steals trash, but he who steals from me my good name robs me of that which will not enrich him and make me poor indeed.
Hmm.
And so it is very easy to use the tongue to bring destruction, because normally when we gossip, we are wanting to make ourselves look better than the person about whom we are talking. We're prone to that. James chapter 3, Dr. Warren Wiersbe has a book, his devotional commentary on James called Be Wise.
Yes, that's an excellent study.
And in chapter 3, he has a segment on the tongue, and he said the tongue has three vital powers. It has vital power to direct, and the two metaphors pictured there as a bit in the horse's mouth, mm-hmm. and the rudder on a ship, both by comparison are very small compared to the big picture. The horse as compared to the bit, and the ship as compared to the rudder. And as those metaphors are considered, it's showing that the tongue has power to direct. And it's a very small thing, but yet it gives direction, and we do have that power within us. And then it says it has power to destroy, as pictured in the fire. I'm glad as we sit in this warm building now in the wintertime, I'm glad for fire.
Right.
But if fire got out of where it's supposed to be, you and I would be scrambling.
That's a powerful picture,
you know,
isn't it?
To get out of the picture. So when fire gets out of its place, and it's not a minor thing that James says the tongue is set on fire of hell, because that of the destruction that it brings.
And we fool ourselves into thinking that we're using our tongue spiritually, when in fact we're using our tongue to destroy, like you're talking about.
Yeah. And we couch it in a prayer request.
I know.
We get so pious,
right.
Brother, I want you to pray for me. Then we let loose about everything we want to know about someone. It's very serious when we stop to think. Jesus said every idle word would be brought into judgment.
How many lives have been destroyed by the careless use of the tongue?
There was a pastor who was giving an illustration about a lady who came to ask forgiveness. Of course, someone jokingly had said a lady came forward in his church and wanted to lay her tongue on the altar, and he had the deacons bring in along her altar and said that her tongue was so long she could sit in the living room and lick grease out of the skillet in the kitchen. And obviously that was a little exaggeration there, but it does show the power of the tongue. When a lady came, and I'm not just saying lady, it could be anyone,
right.
But she said, God convicted me about gossip, and I've been gossiping about you, and I'm asking your forgiveness. Will you forgive me? He said, yes. He said, but if you and your husband could meet me this afternoon at the church at 3 o'clock, get your dinner eaten, and bring a pillow with feathers, and I'd like you to meet me. Well, they couldn't understand that, but they did it. Pastor was waiting there with a razor blade and took the pillow from the lady and went up a ladder on the flat part of the church and shook the feathers out of the pillow. And he said, no, ma'am, if you would go and pick up all the feathers. And she said, that's impossible. He said, yes, I am forgiving you. But the words that you said are scattered all over. They are not retrievable.
Hmm.
Not retrievable.
Hmm.
But there also there are going to be accountability for those words and how quickly that can be destructive.
And that's why this covenant is so important to making our life count.
Yes, because it indicates our heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, the first part of James there says in chapter 3, if you're able to control the tongue, you're able to control the whole body. So when there is a loose tongue, there are other major elements of the life out of control. Whenever I hear a gossip, I think, oh boy, there's something major going on. And that tongue is just a flapping illustration of something that's letting loose in other parts of the life.
Hmm.
And the only way to hide what's happening in me is to make someone else look bad.
Which is what gossip does.
Yes. We were in Nesbitt, Mississippi when we were with Life Action Revival Ministries, and it was my night to preach. We became aware. We wondered there was something strained in the meetings. Hmm. There was just not a freedom. So we were made aware of two deacons that were in conflict. So I got up that night to preach, and I said, I'm going to have to do something tonight I wish I did not have to do. But I'm going to name by name the member that is going to split this church, and that member is here tonight.
Wow.
And it got quiet. In fact, the pastor sat there. I think he quit breathing. He told me later.
I know I would.
he told me later, I was already thinking of churches that had contacted me about that. And I went on and I said, I wish I did not have to do this, but this has to be done if we're going to see God's Spirit to be free in this church. I'd rather not do it, but it has to be done.
I bet you could have heard a pin drop.
Oh, it was quiet. I mean, it really was quiet because people are thinking, oh, no, this is going to split this church. So then I said, well, let me repeat again. I'm going to name the member that's going to split this church. And then I had them all turn to James chapter 3 and I said, behold, the tongue is a little member. And boasted great things. So I said, there's the member. I just named him, and he's in every mouth. And I said, the member that will destroy any congregation is in every person's mouth. And that has to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. People started laughing and breathing again. What a reminder.
Yeah.
That every one of us can let that tongue get out.
And I'll bet you every one of them had somebody in mind.
I'm sure. Maybe except themselves. And then, obviously, James 3 talks about the tongue has a power to delight, which is the intention that God has for us, to delight the fig tree and the fountain. That's what we really need to be shooting to here.
Hmm. Well, Doc, thank you. We need to make a covenant regarding our worship. And we need to make a covenant, as you pointed out here, regarding our walk, our private life. And we need to make a covenant regarding our words and what we watch. Very powerful if we're going to make our life count. The next time we're together, you and I have talked about this, and I'm excited, although it's a tragic part of David's story, we're going to see the effects of what happens when you break one of these covenants. Thank you for listening.